This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Welcome to Declare Your Independence on the Free Talk Live Network.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Fear here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, on the Free Talk Live Network. We're finishing our conversation with Riley Wagerman, also known as Edward Slobsquat. He's a writer, blogger in Europe covering the Ukraine war from Georgia, Russia, Czech Republic. It's good information, and we're sharing it with you in its entirety, and here's the rest of it.
Certainly don't want to lose Crimea. You know, that was you know, hell no. So I could see that wasn't going to be given away. And so you have the battle starts. Then they get around Kiev. They negotiate. If they didn't have NATO and America and all these other guys, it didn't seem like Russia just wanted to mow over them. They just nuked them. I mean, so they go around and they said, all right, do you want to do a deal now? Oh, yes. Yes, we'd be wanting to do a deal. Then Boris Johnson from the UK, after he was prime minister, you know, I don't think he was prime minister at the time, they send him. He goes in. He goes, nope, no deals. We're doing it. We'll give you a bunch of money, and you get to be wealthy beyond whatever, and we'll protect and whatever, and or we'll shoot you, kill you, whatever deal they made. Okay, so they explained it to Zelensky. Well, let me explain it to you. So then they tear that up. All right, we're not doing it. Do you think Putin would ever trust any kind of deal that didn't include the United States? I wouldn't trust him for damn. There is no way that the United States, NATO, Western democracies, whatever that means, you know, the Western world, the banks, all that would have any credibility with any deal dealing with Russia, China, any of these guys. So then they create the BRICS. Now they got their own banking system. They're going to back it with gold. They're going to, because that, you want to kick the living crap out of the United States, have a competing currency, it's backed by gold. Boom! Done. Is that what's really going on?
Well, the gold-backed currency is maybe a possibility, but I haven't seen really any. I mean, if it's coming, it's going to be probably years away. So I would actually say much more concerning and pressing is Russia's adoption of a central bank digital currency, which is very, very frightening, just like it is everywhere else in the world where they are adopting these programmable, centralized, traceable digital tokens controlled by central banks that are beholden to the IMF.
Yeah, but they get it, Pat. They got to sprinkle a little gold on it. They have a gold logo or something.
I got to tell you, honestly, man. I mean, obviously there are reports about it. There are hints about it. But it would be very, very difficult, in my estimation, to create a gold-backed currency. Maybe it will be backed by some other sort of commodity.
Well, I wouldn't trust them anyway. You know, where's your 24/7 webcam? I got Fort Knox here full of tungsten,
exactly,
for all I know.
Right? Exactly.
You know? So I don't trust them.
Yeah.
See,
It's all the faith. It's all fiat. It's all faith in what's going to come down to is going
to
be.
It's all about faith.
It's going to be faith. Gold. You know, it's going to be gold and silver. It's going to be. I like technology. These gold backs are kind of like gold leaf and polymers. They're starting to make a big splash here in America in different liberty communities. So, yeah, and this is why, for exactly this reason. So, is it. So, I, you know, just, you know, clear your cortex, you know, just listen to my 22nd question here. Do you think what's going on is a conflict of, you know, national pride and we got and protect the borders and, you know, America first, NATO first, Russia first kind of thing? Or is it an energy oligarch versus kind of, you know, back and forth who's going to make all the money on the energy? You know, they, the Nord Stream pipelines and all this other crap. Then you have banking interest. Is the banking, you know, who, you know, has the world reserve currency, controls the planet, or is it we need smart cities and the WEF and the UN is going to, you know, enslave everybody and we'll kill off, you know, a few billion people so the earth can, whatever our religion of Satan, could it be Satanism? I mean, you know, that kind
right.
of. So of banking, energy, pride, world domination, control, Luciferian, whatever the hell. I mean, is it all of those? Is there one particular one you think is driving this? What do you think?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to say. I mean, I would probably guess that it's a combination of everything you mentioned, although I would really caution people against trying to find a savior, you know, in a government at this point. I mean, I think that after what we've all witnessed over the last 3 years, and I don't think I need to elaborate any further on that, it's pretty clear that we have, no matter where you live or who your government is, you have international agreements, you have international cabals, like the World Health Organization, which the Russian Federation is a very keen and vocal supporter of. You have various international organizations that, like the IMF, that the Russian Federation is still part of. And these super, you know, supranational organizations, like the UN and the Sustainable Development Goals, it seems to me that with each passing year, nations lose more power, and their so-called representatives in these supranational organizations gain more power. And I have to say that overall, although there's some nuance here, although it's not overly, it doesn't fill you with enormous amounts of hope, but there is a little bit of nuance. But in general, Russia is basically on board with all this stuff. It's on board with the entire globalist project, and it would be very easy. I've documented this for a very long time on my blog. You can go down the list. I don't care what it is. I mean, with the exception of maybe, you know, the whole transgender thing and gay marriage, Russia is on board with all of it. Just name it, and Russia's on board.
Okay, now, so, would that kind of, save Russian culture of whatever, is that because the resurgence of religion and God in the culture, or because Putin is religious or says he is, or get the support of the people on this? Is that an easy, low-hanging fruit thing? What?
First of all, I point out this stuff, it's applicable to almost the entire sort of post-Soviet region. So, I mean, if we're talking about, how religious Russians are, majority of Russians identify as Orthodox Christian, but something like only 5% actually go to church regularly, right? And you have, Poland is probably objectively more religious than Russia is. Yeah, I think it's just because the former Soviet states are maybe about 20 to 30 years behind in this sort of cultural degeneracy, just because they were shielded from it for so long, right?
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, I think that unless there are very, very, very serious measures taken, and some have been taken in Russia and elsewhere, it'll eventually catch up with us all. It's somehow, this stuff spreads like a real virus.
it's a targeting of the hardwiring of youth, You know, it's,
yeah, exactly, exactly. You know, so it's an education thing, really, at the end of the day.
Yeah, no, it's why America kind of goes through cycle because we relatively more freedom or think we are. It cycles faster. You know, it goes through these things. We'll get to the, you know, this too shall pass, and it usually does. But
right.
You know, and the reason it passes so quickly is because we fully with the freedom, and they, you know, have access to the kids in school and everything, and they're all blue-faced and everybody's on TikTok, you know, it goes through the phase and you're like, damn, you know. So now you see, all right, I'll give you an example. In 2003, when I first started doing radio, there was a study that came out that said for the first time, teenagers were spending more time on their computers than they were in front of the TV. And I'm thinking, good, you know, better, you know, they go search for what they want and whatever, kind of, you know, experience this and this pre-programmed idiot box of whatever the hell. But quickly, you know, they then those pivot and go, well, we got to get control of the internet then, because damn, you know, we're losing our eyeballs and ears. We can't get 60 million people to watch the same show anymore, kind of thing. So right. They invade big tech. Well, as time goes on, you start getting a lot of the captains of industry and, you know, the big tech guys. They did a good example I had my grandkids watch as they start to get preteen kind of thing was The Social Dilemma, which is a lot of these guys, well, we definitely don't let our kids have these apps on their phone because we programmed them to program them. You know, we know better. We're not doing it, you know? So we go through that phase. You start having a big increase in more conservative values. You get MAGA comes out, homeschooling. You can see the actual attack from they, them, those, of whatever the heck is going on. And then there's resistance. Well,
right.
How much is that inherent resistance, that heritage, that resistance of authority, the questioning of authority? Question authority? Hell, I say, hang it up by its wrists, cut off its fingers and toes, and let it drip dry. I mean, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
So is that available, that mindset in Russia against government and authority in general? Or is it like North Korea, you know, the leader is God and everybody else is out to get us and we gotta, you see, I need to understand the culture.
Yeah, so I would say that if I was in a situation where there was an oppressive government, I think the best place you could live is actually Russia, just because you're surrounded by people who are very suspicious of authority, very jaded of the idea of government institutions in general. They understand the reality and truth behind power, because in Russia they don't try to dress it up like they do in the United States, right? There's no window dressing, and this was definitely true during the so-called pandemic. When, you know, Russians, their government was instituting all these really horrific and anti-human policies, and Russians were either ignoring them, bypassing them, or, you know, in cases, there were guys who, there was a case where some security guard was checking QR codes. He got stabbed for asking someone for a QR code. So these are serious people, you know. But the Russian mentality is a little bit different than the American one, because you're not going to see Russians necessarily organize and hold street protests. So instead, what they'll do is that they'll nod, they'll say, oh yeah, okay, I understand the rules, and then they just ignore them, or they find ways around them, or they, you know, they have a small circle of friends and family, and they all are on the same page, right? And that's, I think, the difference here. But I'll tell you, I have profound respect for the Russian people. I think that they have shown themselves to have extreme dignity in the face of some really horrific things that have happened to them and to all of us all over the world over the last 3 years. And so, you know, one of the things that keeps me going, even though sometimes I really want to quit the internet forever, is just to try to relay that truth, that the Russian people are deserving of our respect and admiration. They're just, in many ways, they're just like us, just like all other people on this planet, and they are fighting the same fights that we're all fighting, you know, all over.
How is that exploited by someone like Putin? Yeah, I'm with you. Government sucks. I got this guy. I put him in jail. I did, yeah, you know. How is that exploited?
Well, look, I mean, that's a huge topic, Ernest. I don't know if we're going to be able to get into it too deeply, but...
Well, how much time you got? We're an hour in, you know, and
I've got about 10 minutes, and then unfortunately I got to run.
All right, but, so we'll go
yeah,
to 10 after.
I'm sorry about that, but normally I would definitely hang around and talk more, but look, the way that I see Putin after living in Russia for about 10 years, I see him not even as a... He's sort of like a monarchist figure. He's sort of like a Queen Elizabeth, and I'm trying to say that in a... I'm not trying to insult him. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, he's the guy, he's the figurehead, he's the cultural and social figurehead of the country. And I think many Russians, you know, they support Putin because they see him as this living embodiment of stability and sort of cultural and social, I don't know, longevity or what is, I don't even know what the word is. But they hate their government. They hate everyone around Putin. All of his ministers, the State Duma, their governors, their mayors, they're all hated. And United Russia, which is this ruling uniparty in Russia, is almost universally hated. But Putin is supported because he's not really... I think more and more Russians don't see him as a politician. They see him as this sort of, you know, this embodiment of social stability. And that's something that Russians really value, is stability. Because it's a country that has faced a lot of instability in the past, and I think Russians are tired of it. And so that's how I sort of view Putin now. I don't even see him really as someone who's probably making all the decisions, to be perfectly honest.
You don't see him as making decisions, or he is?
I think in many cases he's not really in charge, in my opinion. No.
Well, who do you think is?
Well, that's a really good question. I think it depends on what we're talking about, but in general, the same in the United States. You know, oligarchs and intelligence agencies.
Okay, so the negotiations aren't really between prime ministers and presidents, governments.
It's between spook states. It's all spook states, Ernest.
Spook states.
Yeah.
Spook states. Yeah. I like that word. Do you ever use that in one of your articles, spook states?
I should. You can use it too.
Yeah, no, I won't rip it off. I won't let you use the phrase I ripped off from you, okay? So the spook states. That's awesome. Yeah. See, that's one thing. You get in the mindset of, you know, people in their head that they kind of can grasp a concept by saying something like a spook state. Well, it's just spook state government. It's spook negotiation. It's spook state whatever.
Right.
Because if you're dealing with the banking system, you're dealing with the energy industries, you're dealing with trade and da-da-da-da-da, it's spook state versus spook state of spook state.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
You look at... Yeah. Z Bank, whatever his name is, Z in China.
Xi Jinping, yeah.
I'm wondering how controlled is he? You know, is he top dog? Is he, when he, like, they ignore the previous prime minister or whatever and they get rid of him and walk him out and kind of, you know, and he's got his head down, you know, is he told to do that or did he tell them to do that? So I'm wondering how much Xi Jinping is in charge, you know, and like Putin, how much is he in charge? He'll throw Navalny in jail forever. I mean, because freaking... Or, well, did he? You know, so do you really think that Putin is in charge? You think not, then what is?
Well, again, like I said, it's business interests that are basically in control of spook states, of intelligence agencies. I think that's really what it comes down to. Maybe it's oversimplistic, but I think it might actually be pretty true.
No. I want to explore that a little bit in the next couple of minutes we got left. So in America, I look at the same kind of thing. We're doing a thing, OccupyTheLand.org. Occupy the land. Right. I'm just saying, this all comes down to they don't want you on the land. You're not allowed to have your land. You can't grow this. Oh, my God, you're collecting. God rained on your property, and you want to use rainwater? You're not allowed. Because, you know, I'm just like, who are you people, okay? So you can see this spook state thing. There, something else is going on. They want the purpose of government, defense of individual rights. Doesn't do that, then why the hell are they there? Why are they there? What are they there for? You know?
Right.
You know, safe and secure on what? My land. So we're going to make a big deal out of that. I'm going to be a butthead. But what am I really coming up against? It's the ones that this is a fight I'm not leaving to my grandkids. I'm not doing it because I can, so I am. But the point is that They want to control everything. And that definitely includes you being able to be self-sustaining, building your own shelter, growing your own food, educating your own kids, collecting your own, my God, rainwater. You know, so this, if God had manna dropping on me that I could feed my, then they come and rip it off or tax it. So I'm just like, this is what we're really up against, is this mindset that seems to be global, universal, and overriding, umbrellaing all of this distraction that we're talking about. You see my point?
Exactly.
So how do
I agree, Ernest.
Yeah. How do you depict that to the Russian people?
Oh, I don't know. I think Russians sort of know it intuitively.
Well, I think we're
they're not very political people, but they have a very tender souls. You know, they understand things intuitively very well.
Do they understand power? Do they have a tolerance for you, for Americans? Do they see the American people and the Russian people?
They've been very nice to me. They've been very cordial to me.
So they think the governments suck, but you know, the people are people. We're people.
They understand that we're all people.
All right.
Most of them.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. On your way out, where are you going next? I mean, what do you got to do?
I'm going to a little. My next article. Oh, I don't know. It's hard to say. It's hard to say, Ernest. I don't know.
Spook State. That's
Spook
the
State.
Title.
Yes. Spook. It just be caps locks. Spook State. Yeah.
Spook State. You do Spook State. Yeah. Make sure we get it. We'll pick the crap out of it. And you get.
Nice.
You get. You inspired it. Well, you said it first, so you win. But you go ahead and put it. Spook State. I guarantee that I will make that a popular Spook State versus Spook State of one big Spook State to Spook State. You get that in our minds, you win, man. That's going to be.
I like it. It's a deal. It's a deal, Ernest.
All right,
I'll make sure you get it.
Hey, thanks for coming on again. Well, you know, I'm glad we got it. It's been a year, so we spent a lot of time on you and, you know, where you're coming from and your mindset. And next time we'll focus more on your articles and the news and about the Spook State. Because I want to do Spook State. You write the article
Spook State.
We're going to do Spook State. We're going to kick the crap out of it.
Excellent. Excellent. Right. Thanks so much for having me on, man.
It's always a pleasure, man. Peace, brother. Bye.
Yeah, take care. See ya.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. American workers are demanding a record amount of money to take a new job. Liz Warner reports.
The New York Federal Reserve's latest survey of the minimum acceptable salary offer to switch jobs topped $78,000 during the second quarter of 2023. That's an increase of about 8% from last year and is the highest level on record. The survey also noted at least a $7,000 gap between the wage workers want and what was actually offered by employers. Liz Warner, New York.
The Pentagon's former top policy official says Elon Musk admitted to speaking directly with Russian President Vladimir Putin. That's according to a report from The New Yorker. The inference was that Musk was becoming nervous about Russia seeing Musk's Starlink satellites as a direct provocation, enabling the Ukrainian war effort. In a tweet in October, Musk denied reports he had a conversation with Putin. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
This hour, Declare Your Independence on the Free Talk Live Network is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is a cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Let's talk about your positive experiences using Dash. Dash has transaction fees that are less than 1 cent. Dash transactions are instant, irreversible, and are protected from 51% attacks by its chain locks technology. Dash is the world's first decentralized autonomous organization. BitRefill allows for discounted purchases at national retailers. We want to thank Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. Dash.org is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org.
Welcome to Declare Your Independence on the Free Talk Live Network.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember.
us a little old place where James and I get to talk. All right, this is what we're going to do. There's so much stuff going on, and I, you know, you take off, and there was, I remember one time I took off, and there was an earthquake, and all the snow shook off of Mount Everest. And I'm like, what? You know, then you have some war starts. Everything get, well, James took off, he went fishing, okay? And then because he's a literary geek, you know, he probably is reading and stuff. You know, he gave me an assignment last show, a couple weeks ago. He goes, all right, I want you to, I'm going to have him tell you all about it, but, you know, read that. I'm like, what the hell is kind of geek literary thing is this? This is what I looked up. Literary geek. There's a website, literarygeek.com, okay? And I'm going, James, because I know he's a literary guy, you know, whatever. So go ahead and tell him the assignment that you gave me and why and what we can learn. Because I did have some comments on it. It was interesting because I had all these big James Corbett words and context. It's a century ago or more. And I had to go through all kinds of references. I was trying to find out. I'm going, all right, James, what the hell did I just do? What was this all about? All right, go ahead. Before we get into the news, go ahead and tell people what's up.
All right. Well, so for anyone following along at home, it's called Pierre Menard, author of The Quixote. And it's by Jorge Luis Borges. And you should absolutely, positively, 100%, whatever you're doing, if you're playing this in a pausable format, pause it, go read that. Go read that little short story. It's a little short story. It'll take less than an hour, and then come back and continue listening.
It's not that long. It's probably like
it's really short. I'm saying if you're a slow reader, it might take you.
No, it took me an hour of all the references I had to check.
Well, yeah, if you were looking up references, then, well, in a way, you're doing it wrong because because I say short story. So Jorge Luis Borges was this Argentinian writer. From the early part of the 20th century. Probably my favorite short story writer, but I'm not sure you could call him a short story writer. I'm not sure exactly what he was writing. For example, Pierre Menard, author of The Quixote, is a fictional essay? I don't know what format this is exactly, but it's all fiction. It's all made up. Every person and every reference.
Hunter Thompson stuff or something?
Well, obviously, Don Quixote is real and Cervantes is real, but Pierre Menard and all of this, completely fictional. But it's written in the form of an essay, like a literary essay about responding to literary critics who have been writing about this author, Pierre Menard, and what he was doing and blah, blah, blah. So I get going into this with no context must have been absolutely incredibly confusing. So hats off to you for doing that. But essentially, the essential idea of this, which I must confess, I have not reread this short story for 25 years at least, but I remember it to this day. I actually just reread it just before we talked, just so I can remember what's going on in it. But I remember the idea of it because it's such a brilliant idea. It's about this 20th century writer who decided to rewrite parts of Don Quixote by Cervantes, what's considered generally the first novel from
1600s or something, yeah.
Yeah, about 1600 or so. And so this guy was going to go and rewrite parts of the novel. Okay, what do you mean, like copy them? No, he was going to somehow, without consulting Cervantes, he said he'd read it when he was 12 or 13 and then reread bits of it here and there, but he was going to try to rewrite parts of Don Quixote, not from memory, not by copying, but by attempting to get into the mindset of Cervantes and become Cervantes in some sense and start writing Cervantes. And he actually did it. He produced whatever, according to this fictional essay, this fictional character, Pierre Menard, actually did produce a couple of chapters of Don Quixote, word for word, not by, again, not by copying, not by remembering, but by actually living like Cervantes or getting into that mindset. And I thought that was such an awesome idea. And what I love about it is when he starts developing the idea and comparing the passages, and he's comparing literally the quote from Cervantes and then the quote from Menard, and it's literally word for word the same quotation, but it means something so much different when it's coming from Pierre Menard writing in the 20th century. How could he possibly be writing these words? I mean, we get where Cervantes is coming from 1600, but here's here's Menard writing this in, like, 1900. What's going on? And I thought that was such a brilliant thing. Anyway, really, the reason why this came up at all is because, for people who don't remember, last time we were talking something about the Declaration of Independence. And I said something like, oh, well, you know, you're rewriting the Declaration of Independence or something. And you said something along the lines of, you know, I don't need to rewrite it, I'm living it, or something like that. And I thought, that's brilliant. Well, imagine someone writing the Declaration of Independence today, not by reading or copying or remembering Jefferson or Thomas Paine's words, but by actually living the spirit of that 1776 revolution. And those are the words that occur to me to put it in. And I'm going to write this. And think about how different those words would be in the
21st later, century yeah.
from the 18th century. Because, I mean, take even just some of the most... We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. We're right there. That is a political statement and a half in the 21st century, to say all men are created equal. I mean, how can you write that, right? Right. But also, of course, endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. Again, right there, you're placing yourself squarely in a very contextualized position of with regards to religion and bringing that side of it into it. Anyway, you could do that. You could compare, like, word for word. This is what Jefferson wrote, but this is what I wrote. And I thought that would be a fun intellectual exercise. But you're exactly right. Literary geek. I am a literary geek.
Literary geek.
I've been
called
worse. Geek, I think
geek,
this
geek.
One applies.
This is what happened. I think it. I don't even remember what brought it. So I didn't make the context, you know, of our why I was reading. I'm like, what the hell is going on? I thought, okay, this is what happened. I'm like, when I first started doing all this activism or wanted to go, what the hell is going on? I went to the library and I read the Declaration, Constitution, Bill of Rights. You know, I want to know what the deal was, what the promise was. And I could see, you start reading more Jefferson, Thomas Jefferson, and I could tell that I would just regurgitate what he said, because I liked everything he was writing, you know, about the individual and the purpose of government, all that kind of stuff. So it was like one half a day at the library as I'm doing some research, before the internet, and I go, no, I can't read any more of this, or I'll just repeat it. You know, it'll just be incorporated into my person. I need to go live it. I need to go challenge this stuff. So I think that's what prompted you to get me to do this. But, you know, but I didn't know why you did. I'm like, why am I? What the hell? This is what I got out of it.
What is James trying to say with this?
It was big, flowery, Shakespearean kind of word verbose, you know, metaphor, whatever the hell. And I got, there was critiques of him in what he had done, and he was writing to the critics, or, you know, first he starts off, well, I'm the crap, and, you know, I like all these people like me because they like me, and they're important people, so I must be cool, and, you know, and I get to have a say, and yada, 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 yada. And I'm trying to figure out, and then he make references to different characters in mythology and of the time. So I got to look up all these words and names. I'm like, what the hell are they talking about? So I got an edumacation, you know, out of, you know,
You're welcome. Assignment.
Yeah, thank you. But I was going, so I wrote, after I got done with it, and I'm digesting it, and I'm going, okay. So they had flame wars a century ago. Is that what you're telling me? You know? Because it was like a highbrow flame war. That's what was going on. Yeah, well, I and your mama wears army boots, you know? So
this is like 20-dimensional chess, when you think about it. Because he's taking on the persona of a literary critic responding to other literary critics about this fictional guy. But it's all a fiction. But it's actually Borges who's taking on this role, writing something that looks like a literary criticism essay, that's actually a short story, that in a sense may be a response to Borges' critics, right? He may be flame-warring
with
them.
Well, this 4D chess, I didn't freaking pick it up. I mean, that's what, you know, context is everything. You know, who is this guy? Why would
yeah,
you?
Absolutely.
I'm going, what? So I didn't even know, whatever. So anyway, I said, you know.
To be honest, I didn't really expect you were going to read it, so I'm glad you did.
Yeah, I do what you tell me, man. You know, you say read
right.
something,
I'll
read
keep
it.
In mind. I will use this power very carefully from
yes, please, okay? So I go, well, you said, you know, for next time we talk, I go, oh, man, I got it. So I had it set aside. Okay, this was another thing. As I did the research to find this thing, Finding the actual PDF of the actual article was not that easy. There's a lot of references to it, and that was what was interesting. That's what got me intrigued to begin with. It was like, you know, all these academics, all these literary geeks are sitting there geeking out on it, talking about it, but they don't have it. They're just talking about a movie they saw with no movie, you know? And I'm going,
right, what the hell?
Now I got to find it, man. They're hiding this thing. So then I finally... I finally find it. I go through it, and I wasn't sure. So I just went through it, and I'm going, it wasn't as long as I thought it was going to be. It's probably, I don't know, 8, 9, 10, 12 pages, something like that. But so I go through it, and then I send James an email, and I go, did I read the right thing here? What the hell is going on? What are you trying to tell me? There's flame wars, you know, that there was this or that. I did, you know, some research, and I go, okay, thanks, but I mean... No thanks, man. I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
But I go, man, you are definitely a literary geek. And I just searched it, and there's a freaking webpage. So I sent that to James. I go, yeah, here's your people, man. Go for it. So that was that story. I just wanted to, so use your powers judiciously.
Now that you're a Borges fan and want to read everything he's ever written, I will direct you to Film Literature in the New World Order, number 27, The Library of Babel, which is another Borges story that, again, is actually like a fictional essay. But I read that one for you, so you can download my MP3 reading of the story if you want.
Okay.
And
well,
then
tell me, tell me what I'm going here. MP3 of the title, I got to go find what?
The Library of Babel. Just type that into Corbett Report search and
Library
you'll find it.
Library of Babel. All right, how long is it? Oh, no, you're going to read it to me. How many hours is it?
Yeah, you can listen to it. Exactly. But it's. I think the relevance of that short story will be more apparent once you listen to the podcast. Anyway.
Thank you.
And it's basically, the Library of Babel is like Google, or access to the Library of Babel is like Google or what have you.
Well, how long is the MP3?
That's a good question. It's been many, many years, so I don't know.
It takes years to listen to it? No, I'm sorry.
What? Oh, years, yeah, it takes years. But very parenthetically, this also brings up my favorite pet conspiracy theory that I've never really deeply researched, but I've heard, and I'm willing to be convinced by. Thomas Jefferson didn't write the Declaration. Thomas Paine did. But they had to hide that because Paine was, you know... He was a crazy atheist, hardcore God-hater.
Really?
So they had to cover that up. There is a theory about
Thomas Paine did like common sense. You know, the cause.
Yep.
You know, like, okay.
Yep. But he did not, like, common sense, a lot of people will say that started the revolution. But Thomas Paine is not lauded, and he was actually, I think he died poor and basically cast out because he was... controversial in his time, and so he never got a lot of the credit. And so there was the theory he wrote the Declaration, and it makes a lot of sense in various ways. I heard some person giving a lecture about it once, but I haven't researched it for myself, so I'm not vouching for it. I just think it's a fun theory.
Okay, 47 minutes.
That's the podcast. That's the podcast. But if you go down, it says for a reading of this story by James Corbett, click here. That's the actual reading of the story. So you got to listen to that first.
La biblioteca de bebé.
Okay, that's 18 minutes. I can do 18 minutes. All right.
Exactly.
All right. Then you're going to talk about it for an hour. Okay, I get it. All right.
Yeah.
All right, so I got
that. Oh, I love giving people literary homework.
But
it's relevant.
I trust you. You know, I mean, you know, James says, you know, that's one thing. I've been really busy, and I just even, I usually listen or watch your stuff, you know, when I'm doing workout and I'm welding and we're building all kinds of crap and grinding and everything, and I come and scrape off all the crap before we do this, take a shower. But but I have a welding helmet on, you know, a lot of the day, so I can't put my workman thing, you know, big ear, what do they call them, you know, on. So I didn't get caught up. So I got a whole bunch. I'm going to be living Corbett for the next week, you know. So this is, which I
was off for a week, so, You know, I gave you a little break.
You know, you did have, that's one thing I wanted to talk about was this, the School of Understanding, how I wanted to talk about it just a little bit, tell me what it was about, because I haven't had a chance to do it yet, because Jordan Page has a homeschool curriculum thing that he's doing called Firefly, and they have a Telegram, and I'm on there because he put me on there, and I just check it every now and then, and they were going on about this interview. You know, oh man, it was, you know, this is it. And, you know, James, God, this is, what was this about? Why were they so excited about this?
Because it's a good idea, essentially. So, long story short, it's a conversation with Geert Endringa, who was a professor at the University of Groningen in the Netherlands. And for anyone who's ever wondered how it is that I got to speak at TEDx, if people remember, I gave a TEDx speech a decade ago. That was because of Geert. He was a fan of my work. He'd been following me for years. He got in touch. I interviewed him. He came through Japan at one point, and so we met. And then he invited me out to Groningen to speak at the university. Well, at a sort of the Studium Generale, the student union, essentially, of the university, and to give that TEDx talk. So I've known him for years and years. But over the past few years, he's had an interesting ride because he have essentially got canceled, ultimately mutually amicably parted from the University of Groningen. But after basically he got dragged through the mud in the mainstream press and everything, like, this guy is a conspiracy theorist and he listens to things like the Corbett Report and blah, 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 and he tells students these crazy ideas. So anyway, despite having consistently outstanding reviews from his students, he ended up getting canceled from the University of Groningen. And so now he's essentially an unemployed professor.
But
so
based on what? Why was he canceled? He used somebody's wrong pronoun or something? What?
There was a complaint at some point about him introducing some controversial idea about, you know, vaccines or whatever in the classroom, and eventually it turned into, to use a literary reference, Franz Kafka's The Trial, and they wouldn't even say what specifically he had said that would have crossed whatever imaginary line they were saying was crossed, but essentially he got hounded out of the university.
And services
and
are required.
So he is starting his own university? Well, not quite, but it's a type of post-secondary school of understanding, and basically the idea is it's a decentralized idea for that anyone could do anywhere, essentially, but he's going to do it in Groningen. He's going to take on 10 to 12 students and just take them through a year of developing their idea in whatever field they're in, economics or anthropology or whatever they happen to be studying, and basically developing their idea, finding a project that they want to work on and developing that project with them and then helping them see that through to conclusion. And obviously this is not a accredited institution. They're not going to get a piece of paper from the government. That's, you know,
since when does that matter anymore?
Exactly. Does it matter? Because as I say in that interview, essentially I think this is going back more to the idea of the apprenticeship system, where you will find people in that area who know what they're talking about, and you will sort of apprentice with them and produce something of value, and that will be your CV, not some piece of paper from the government. It will be, hey, I can do this thing now. So anyway, that's the idea. We'll see how it works. He hasn't done the first class yet, but we'll see how it works.
Very cool. Yeah, no, that it, you know, so of course I got it up. I'm got to watch it, you know, and dude, I'm just I'm behind. But the I'm glad that you took your gone fishing week. I can get caught up on the other stuff. But the go ahead and tell me about your little vacation. What brought that on?
Just a number of things. One, James M. Pilato was taking a week off, so there was going to be no New World next week. It's August in Japan, which is crazy for all sorts of. I mean, the kids are all over the place, and it's a million degrees out. And so I am a human being who needs to recharge the batteries. So I just took a week off. I was actually doing a lot of just admin kind of stuff behind the scenes, but getting stuff in order. And just enjoying a little breather.
Good. You only do it once a year? I mean, come on, dude.
I generally, you know, it's funny. Yeah, I generally take a little Christmas, New Year break and generally a week or two in the summer. But that and but I get from the, it's funny, no matter what I do, no matter what I say before I take time off, I always inevitably end up getting emails from people. Where are you? What's going on? Why aren't you posting?
I need my
fix. I haven't received an email for 6 days.
You know, this, you know, fortunately, what I do is I have, you know, one network show on Monday, and then on Genesis, and then we have Liberty Radio Network, Liberty Talk Network, you know, they're kind of podcasting, you know, aggregators and so on, and I write some for some newspapers and different, you know, so I do a lot of work, but what happens is, like today, I do three shows, so I'm in this chair for freaking, you know, ever, and then I went out and did some welding and so on, but the, for building the equipment that we're doing for Occupy the Land thing. But the, you know, I can do like 3-4 shows in a day, and Donald will, you know, load me up for a couple of days, and that'll do me for a week or two. And then if we know we're traveling or we're doing something, then I bust butt, you know, I'm sitting in the chair all day every day for a week or something. Then I can take a week off. You know, I can just do, because we don't do the live show anymore because we've been on the bus and traveling. But we, when I do the show, we do the live stream. So people, we send it out when we're doing it, and so they're watching live. But then we have the archive, and then I, you know, put some together for the network thing, and so whatever. So that's how I get time off. And but that's just from the radio. Then I got the site to deal with, and I have all 5 billion emails. I mean, it's just, it's all day, every day. Now, what happens is Donna would take up the slack a lot of times, but she won't be back until Tuesday. This hour, Declare Your Independence on the Free Talk Live Network is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is a cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Let's talk about your positive experiences using Dash. Dash has transaction fees that are less than 1 cent. Dash transactions are instant, irreversible, and are protected from 51% attacks by its chain locks technology. Dash is the world's first decentralized autonomous organization. BitRefill allows for discounted purchases at national retailers. We want to thank Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. Dash.org is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use. Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.
It's obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media are distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the real concerns of American families. Countries we're at odds with are hoarding food, financial systems are strained, and supply chains remain too fragile. We can tell something is coming, so we're preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. And while you're there, stock up on water filtration, heirloom seeds, and emergency gear, too, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.